wonderful. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for this day. Amen. For there will not be another day like today. Amen. I want to share with you all today, this is the third part of our sermon series. I want to share it with you today out of Acts chapter 16. The sermon series is When Doing Right Goes Wrong. When Doing Right Goes Wrong. Today I want to share the third installment of that series out of Acts 16, verse 6 through 10, and it's the final installment. And reading out of the NIV version, it reads in this way: Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Amen. It was September the 11th, 2001, when a young African-American man named Johnny woke up late for work. He had trouble in the past getting to work on time, and he always seemed to find himself in trouble no matter what job he had. But he was a hard worker. He was intelligent. He had a promising career in his field if he could just get to work on time. Amen. He's already been written up twice the past quarter, and if he was late one more time, he was in jeopardy of being terminated. That's why when Johnny woke up late this time, he woke up in a frenzy. He jumped out of bed, laid his clothes out, jumped in the shower, jumped out of the shower, and put his clothes on. He thought it may be best that he would skip breakfast that morning, but thought he needed something to eat along the way, so he took him a Danish and carelessly ran out the door, tearing his pants and cutting his side open, bleeding all over himself. So frantically hoping not to be late this third time, Johnny runs back inside to change his clothes. Has anybody ever had a day, a week, a month, a year like Johnny? It seemed the harder you tried, the worse things got. It seemed that even on your best days, things didn't seem to go right. You've experienced highs and lows in your life, in your family, professionally, emotionally, and even spiritually. You felt like Paul when he said, "When I would do good, evil is always present." Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? Well, that's probably the primary reason why some of you are here today at church. Your troubles drove you to church, and you're looking for some relief from the Lord. Amen. Well, I have some bad news, and I have some good news. The bad news is that the highs and lows for the Christian is very similar to the highs and lows for the non-Christian. And what I mean by that is, just because you're saved, just because you go to church, just because you are a faithful member, a model believer, committed and dependable, doesn't mean that will exempt you from trouble. Lord, help me. Let me put it another way. You will never become too holy, so close to God, so righteous that you scare the devil and that the devil opts to leave you alone. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. In fact, the opposite is sometimes true. when you sign up in God's army, you can expect trouble to be in your way. Now, for those who claim Christ because you're trying to escape trouble, you will be disappointed, because Jesus told his disciples in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. And if the world attacked the Savior of the world, you can believe as his representative, the world will also attack you. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations. If there's anything ever constant in this world, it would be trouble. That's the bad news. But the good news is, my God is a problem solver. Jesus said, though you will have some problems, fear not, I've overcome the world. That's the good news. The good news is that God is able to turn your problems around, just as Joseph, whose brother sold him off into slavery out of jealousy after being lied on. Has anybody ever told some untruths about you? After being thrown into jail, has anybody ever did a stint behind bars? That was the beginning of Joseph's story, but it wasn't the end, because Joseph ended up being the second most powerful person in Egypt behind Pharaoh himself. And after reuniting with his brothers who sold him off to slavery, Joseph had to calm their fears, because his brothers believed that Joseph would seek revenge against them because of what they did to him. But Joseph had a different outlook on what happened and determined that what they meant for his bad, God meant it for his good. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, no matter what it looks like, God is still in control. Somebody needs to be reminded of that today. No matter what it looks like, God is still in control. And that's why I want to talk today about dealing with disappointments, developing a Christian point of view, dealing with disappointments. Now, this text is the epitome of what of when doing right goes wrong. Here Paul is trying his best to fulfill the great commission of Christ to go and make disciples of all the nations, and he has with him Silas and Timothy as his traveling partners. And the text says that they're traveling throughout Phrygia and Galatia, but it was the Holy Spirit that prohibited them from preaching in Asia. So they continued to travel on and came to the border of Mysia, tried to go into Bethania, but once again, the Spirit of God wouldn't allow them. It's interesting that Paul and his comrades were trying to fulfill the work of the Lord, and they were trying to be faithful to their call, and they were trying to do what they were created to do. But here at this point in the story, we see the text say that the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them to preach. Doesn't seem right. The God creates a preacher and then tells the preacher not to preach. That seems wrong in so many ways. It's like telling the fish not to swim, our dog not to bark. It seems as if it goes against the very nature of what God created them to be. In fact, there was one preacher in particular in the Bible that was fed up with preaching, because he said that every time he preached, he upset the people. Not only did they reject God's word, but they also was mad at him and rejected him. And Jeremiah was sick and tired and declared, if I were not to mention God's word or speak in his name anymore, I would do more damage to myself, because his word is in my heart. It's like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm tired of trying to hold it in. There was another preacher in the Bible that refused to preach God's word of repentance, because the people he was commissioned to preach to were vile people, enemies of Job, people he knew that if they repented, God would forgive them. But rather he wanted to see them destroyed instead of God forgiving them. So he insisted to go in the other direction. He got in a boat and went in the other direction than where the people were. But how many of you found out that the hard way that you can't run from God and you can't run from God's assignment? And after God got through with Job, he had men he was traveling with throw him overboard. God made other traveling arrangements for Job to bring him to Nineveh to preach via being swallowed by a large fish. And after the fish spit him out on the bank, Job was ready to deliver the message that God gave him to deliver to the people. I even remember a time when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and the people were praising his name, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." When some of the Pharisees heard what the people were saying about Jesus, they told Jesus that he should make them stop saying what they were saying. But Jesus said, "Even if they kept quiet, the rocks will proclaim who I am." It only seems natural that we do those things that God has created us to do and be who God has created us to be. But here God tells the preacher not to preach. I'm sure Paul was experiencing what I would call being disappointed in the divine. When you're doing your best to do what God has told you to do, but things still don't work out, it's being called being disappointed in the divine. Has anybody ever been disappointed in God? You understood why things fell through when you were in the world doing you. It made sense why God got with you when you were living outside the will of God. But now that you're trying to live right, trying to do what God wants you to do, the thing that confuses you and makes you scratch your head is that things aren't working out the way you want them to. Well, the difference today that you're living for Christ versus yesterday when you weren't is that you can trust God to order your steps. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But if you're really listening to the Lord, then you have to listen to the Lord all the way. You have to trust God to tell you what to do, trust God to tell you where to do it, trust God to tell you how to do it, trust God to tell you when to do it. And even if God has put the desire in your heart, you better check with God to see if you should do it. King David, he wanted to build a permanent dwelling place for God, but God told King David, "It was good for you to think about me, but you won't build me a house, but I will build you one." Just because you had a good idea doesn't mean that your good idea came from God. And God had to teach Paul to trust him in all things, for God knows how to make all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Well, it was ambiguous how the Holy Spirit communicated with Paul and prohibited him from preaching. In fact, how did Paul determine that it was the Holy Spirit that was prohibiting him from preaching and not some adversarial force working against the will of God? One good theory that I really like is that Paul had gotten sick and his illness wouldn't allow him to preach in those regions, and it was his illness that caused him not to be able to preach. You see, the book of Acts was written by Luke the physician. And part of the book is based in testimony, and the other part is based on Luke's firsthand knowledge. And all through the book of Acts, it's been written as if someone was telling a story based off of the testimony of another, until we get to Acts chapter 16, verse 10. When the writer of the text shifts from speaking in the third person, they and them, to the first person of I and we. The author was talking about what they were doing. When we get there, when we get to verse 10 of Acts, the writer is no longer talking about what they were doing, but he said, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. And the only reason that Luke would have stopped speaking in the third person and began speaking in the first person is because Luke was there. And the only reason that Luke would be around Paul at a time when he couldn't preach would be at a time that he needed a doctor. And all the students of the Bible know that Luke, the author of Acts, was a physician. Therefore, Paul must have gotten sick during his second missionary journey, and his sickness wouldn't allow him to preach. But here is the remarkable thing. Before we get to verse 10, Luke is giving an account of what Paul and others told him about God and how God was moving throughout the land by way of the church. And we see as Paul was traveling along Phrygia and Galatia, as he tried to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow him to preach there. How did Luke know that it was the Holy Spirit that wouldn't allow Paul to preach? Well, after Paul felt a little better, the Bible said that he had a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to come to Macedonia and help them. Luke says that they left immediately, believing that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. After Paul felt a little better, he was able to reflect over what had happened to him. As he reflected over his sickness and his inability to preach where he wanted to, God sent a message through a vision telling him where to go, and Paul knew that God was ordering his steps. You see, Paul was developing a Christian point of view, for this is the same Paul that later wrote to the Philippians after he was thrown in jail. Now, brothers and sisters, what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel, and it has become clear to everyone throughout the whole palace that I am in chains for Christ. Paul even talked about preaching when he told the Philippians that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, preaching out of selfish ambition, trying to stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But it doesn't matter if people preach from false motives or true ones. The most important thing is that Christ is preached. Paul told the Philippians, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was developing a Christian point of view in order to deal with his disappointment. And he learned that no matter the situation, God is in control. No matter the problem, God can solve them. Now that truly all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are calling according to his purposes. Paul had to look back and reflect over how God has taken the bad that he's done and worked it out for his good. And he came to the conclusion that God can take the bad done to him and use it for the good and for his good and perfect will. Paul recognized that the devil may bring you some things. He may bring some things your way. But what the devil meant for your bad, God meant it for your good. You remember the young man named Johnny, who had a hard time going to work on time. And if he was late one more time, he would lose his job. Johnny tore his pants and cut a hole in his side and was bleeding all over the place. And he had to go back inside and change his clothes and put a bandage over where he cut himself on his side. And as he was rushing down to the subway, his phone just kept on ringing back to back, aggravating him as he was trying to make his way to work. And he finally looked at his phone and saw that it was his mother. And he picked up the phone and was wanting to know, Mama, what do you want? I'm late for work. And his mother's on the other side of the phone, and she's frantically asking, are you all right? Are you all right? It was September the 11th, 2001. And that's when those planes was driven by the terrorists and went into the Twin Towers, killing many people. Johnny didn't know it because he was so busy trying to get to work on time that he realized that the same planes that went into the buildings was the same place that he was going into work. He looked down at his side and he saw that his bandage had came open, and he reopened up his injury. He looked and saw his blood-stained shirt, and he turned back to the phone and told his mama, Mama, I'm all right, because today I was saved by the blood. Has anybody in here been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ?
What one calls to be your downfall, the Lord can turn your midnight into day. He can turn your troubles into promises. He can turn all of your heartache and pain into joy. You got to get a Christian point of view if you're going to deal with your disappointments. For what the devil meant for your bad, the Lord meant it for his good. I can recall back in my mind how Jesus was at the gates of Gethsemane and he was praying, Lord, if this cup would be taken from me, but not my will, thine will be done. They arrested him on some trumped up charges, said he did some stuff he didn't say, said he did some things he didn't do. He got whipped for it and beat for it. How many of you know even today it's bad news when you get pulled over by the cops? They just may get you on mistaken identity. They just may get you on some trumped up charges. Jesus even had to carry his own cross down to Calvary, where they nailed his feet and his hands to the cross. They lifted him up in the public square. He was sided by two well-known criminals, but I wish they would have waited just a little bit longer. They said he died on that cross, but before he died, he had to take care of some other businesses. He looked at those that was killing him, and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked at John, and he looked at his mother, and he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And when they was about to kill him, they said, the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. Nobody took his life, but he gave it. Do you know why he gave it? He gave it because of love. Somebody said, it was love that lifted me when nothing else could help. It was love that lifted me. But I wish they could just wait a little while longer. For the Bible shows that his disciples ran off disappointed that the great Messiah was there. But I wish they could have just waited a little longer. Somebody put them in a borrowed tomb, believing all was lost. But I wish they could have held on just a little longer. If you can hold on, you can win. Because he was in there all night on Friday night. He was in there all day on Saturday. So women wanted to go anoint his body. But when they got there, the Bible says the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. You got to get a Christian point of view, for all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. It may look bad now, but if you're on God's assignment, he can turn it all around. If the Lord has his hands on you, he can give you a new name. And that new name talks about a new testimony. I used to be that, but today I'm the child of God. I used to lie, but today I got to tell you the truth about how the Lord will redeem you. I used to be a whoremonger, but now I found somebody that loves me better than I can love myself. The Lord can turn all your troubles around if you trust him. You got to trust the Lord in everything. If he gives you assignment, you got to listen for him to tell you when to execute, where to go, how to do it, and why you should be there. You need to trust him in everything. This is my message to you today, church. Learning how to deal with your disappointments, developing a Christian point of view. Paul had to develop that. When he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Paul was the one that said, I'm in chains for the sake of Christ. He saw God's hand working in the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's why we don't pray to the White House. We pray to the house above all other houses. Because all things work together. God is still in control if you trust him.
This is your invitation today. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But don't think that water saves you. Jesus saves. If you stay with him and grow close to him, learn his ways above all other ways, the Lord will begin to change you from the inside out. He may not take all your troubles away, but he'll make you be able to handle your troubles and not let your troubles handle you. That's what some of you need today. You need Jesus in your life, that he's able to turn things around. The Lord knows how to take everything from you, but build you up in the process and you not miss a beat if you trust him today. Will you look at this world with new eyes as God delivers you from whatever holds you down? This is your invitation. Let us stand as we're led in this musical selection. Jesus is calling you today. The question is, how will you respond? This is your invitation. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? The Lord is calling today. There's still room. There's still room. There is still time. There is still time. There is still time. Oh.